I'm trying to make sense of he's from that time.
Yeah, it could be the time period where they didn't have, where everyone had simple domains and it wasn't complex.
Mm.
And it was just like brute strength. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's installment of Herbal Synergy. It's your boy, your host, Irby, and with me, my co-host, as always, Mr. Hajime Senji, my boy.
Hajime.
Yes. Yo,
what's up?
Yeah, so, let's see. Let's get straight into it this week.
Straight for the juggler.
Yeah, so let's get some flavors going here.
I have a couple.
So, all right, well, hit me with your couple of flavors, sir.
All right, first one, as we talked about with Pete, Weak Hero is approaching its final chapters. It's got that Tokyo Revengers vibe when we were approaching the end. Sorry, guys. I'm a little under the weather again. But towards the end of the chapter, we all know that in Weak Hero, the final boss was always going to be Donald Na. Well, and
did we know that?
One of the previous chapters, well, I did. The chapter ended with Gray just showing up at the hospital and was like, Donald Na, and it was like, oh shit, and then it ended right there. I was like, oh shit. So that was my one. My second one comes from Eminence of Shadows, and the very last episode, really that entire series can be a flavor, because this man is just hilarious, and he is OP. He is, when he's not pretending to be a background character, the man is just a flex god. He's almost like Anos Voldigoat.
Anos. He's a good one.
Yeah, man. He's just like, they were like, I think I sent you one of the final fights on Instagram with Pete, and he was laughing. He was like, me? Run? From where? From who? And why? And then he was just flexing his powers. Yeah, I was just like, bruh.
Yeah.
Man, OP.
He was OP. P-O.
So, yeah.
OP.
That was my couple flavors. I could probably sneak some in there, but those were the main two.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to show Boruto a little love this week. So,
ooh, what part?
The part where, Sarada showed up to help Boruto because he's like,
it got benched right away.
Yep. I was like, I can't do nothing. And Kawaki's like, say, if you don't want to die, don't butt in. I was like, ooh. It immediately puts her on the oak. So I was like, oh, man.
I'm glad I read this chapter because it's like, oh, shit. So I guess this is when Boruto gets the scar.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's how he gets it. So
I feel like the marks on their faces keep changing.
Maybe
it's just like the time in which I keep like picking it up again.
Yeah. It might be. I don't know. I mean, they're also growing too, so like marks can stretch or like elongate or even get smaller.
Yeah. But I think now's the time where I'm picking gonna pick Boruto back up.
She skipped all the other stuff.
I skipped all the middle.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Be like the dog.
And like it do be. So yeah, I guess we start talking about some Sacred Blacksmith.
Yeah, we can talk about some Sacred Blacksmith. All right. Episode 11, Truth. Lisa is not the person I meant to write here. It's actually Cicely. We begin the episode with Cicely really showing some, like, being distant from Luke and Lisa. And it turns out she was being distant from Lisa. Like, she had finding out that Lisa was a devil kind of, like, put her off. But, like, my girl Arya talked some sense to her. I'm like, well, I'm a demon sword, so essentially I'm a devil. Does that mean we're not friends too? I was like, no, we're friends. So nothing's changed. And she's like, oh, you're right. I was like, oh, common sense.
It kind of prevails, and sometimes it doesn't prevail.
I know. So there's a conference with a bunch of region, the high-end representatives of different regions. Excuse me. And they're talking about the sacred sword that Luke's supposed to make. Well, it's more like a slander fest more than talking about this sacred sword, because they're just ripping into my boy with, oh, like, you abandoned your childhood love and to save your own skin and blah blah blah. And he wasn't even defending himself, right?
Yeah, he wasn't. I did think it's terrible they were doing that. And I do also want to touch back on Cicely real quick, how Arya was like, see, this is why sometimes you got to be ignorant so you shouldn't try to know everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Once you find out, she was like, oh, there's no going back, and now look at you. Now that you know that she's a devil, you're like, oh, I guess I can deal with devils because they're okay, because Arya's okay, but look at you.
She fucked around and she found out.
She did find out indeed.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is... I'm going to speed this along. This is going to be an Irby carried paw episode. All you're going to hear from me is an occasional... Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm going to schedule my surgery for tomorrow.
Whoa. This is back going to be hurting.
Back surgery, yeah.
So obviously Cicely, being the person she is, was not okay with everything they were saying about Luke. And instead of Luke did a thing where, like, he kind of just took it because, like, and he had a good reason, but, like, it seemed like he took out his anger out on Cicely, knowing that she had nothing but good intentions. So she ends up getting kicked out. She goes and talks to Lisa and apologizes to her. They have a heart-to-heart. And somehow, due to grace of no real evidence other than plot armor, she figured out that Lisa turned herself into Lisa to protect Luke. And she showed up back at the meetings like, I got something to say and you're going to listen. Luke didn't do anything. Lisa did it. And I know Lisa would do it because I'm just like her. And this and that. And they're like, that is preposterous. Love is going to help us seal the Vanahai Hill guy.
Bob O'Neill.
And it's like, if you don't believe it, try to cut Luke's sword. And she, like, stabs it into the table. And the masked man, who turned out to be Siegfried or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Excuse me. He swung at it. And on my screen, it looked like he was cutting the katana. But then his sword broke. So I was like, I wanted to rewind. I just never did. And he left pissed. Cicely explained herself to Luke and then came outside, and Lisa was there and they had a nice touching moment. And then we go over back to Siegfried, and it looks like all hell is breaking loose, and we're going to get the conclusion tomorrow. Well, next episode.
Oh, I thought also worth noting here too was how his eye, like, I guess I never noticed it, but his eye was fake. And I was like, oh. So I guess that's kind of why he had to close his. Like, I guess I noticed it initially when they were forging stuff, because he closed one eye and The other Lisa had to close her eye in order for him to forge. I was like, huh. Mm-hmm. But I never knew his eye was fake. So.
Yeah, because they never indicated. And, like, you know what? Even if Sicily's speculation, which it seems like it's accurate, is true, does that mean Lisa sacrificed Luke's eye to make this, give her the blacksmithing ability? I don't know.
I thought they had to sacrifice a piece of themselves in order to do it. So I don't know. But yeah, so I was like, oh, that's something I caught on early. I was like, huh, there got to be some meaning for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's because they never emphasized on it. It was just like, oh, casually do this sort of thing with making a sword that we're not going to do too often.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But yeah, it was a decent episode. Not the best. Yeah, they were talking about getting other blacksmiths and take them out and kidnapping them to make them do their bidding. But I'm like, huh. But yeah, it's all going to break loose. So, yeah.
Take it away.
On to. Yeah, on to Eden of the East. Interesting. Eden of the East. Yeah.
Interesting episode.
So it starts off with a man in a mask, and he's tied to a chair. And old creepy lady from last time's in there. I'm like, oh, is this Osakai? Is he just taped to the, well, strapped to the chair? I was like, is he not going to make it? And so, yeah, there's his bags in there. And I'm like, oh, maybe the guy, the other drunken man that was there stole his bag. So I was like, huh, maybe. Maybe that's him. Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Yeah, so then Takizawa drops off Saki to spend the night at her friend's house. And he starts talking. He's like, oh, I want to meet your friends, help make this world a better place, this and the other. And so the next day they meet up and they discuss the stuff with their friends. And they're like, oh, you're crazy to be associated with someone. And I'm like, oh, man. So they start talking, and they talk about Takizawa, and they're like, oh, she'd take up the offer, this, that, and the other, and they want to meet him. His homeboy, her homeboy has intrepidations about Takizawa, and then we found out that Osakai can't be contacted, so I guess he is a masked man struggling on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yo, but, like, how about the dude that just came out, like, the dresser-type desk thing out of nowhere? Like, mid-conversation, he just opens up. Oh, I'm here. Like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah. So then they go to meet Takizawa. He's nowhere to be found. And the guy that doesn't like Takizawa is like, oh, he's dirty and this, that, and the other. And Takizawa's like, who's talking about? And he ends up talking smack about Takizawa to Takizawa without even realizing it. So then they talk about their software and how it can be monetized, their recognition software. And then there was an incident which caused a lady trouble, and she ended up dropping out of school. I also did read a book about a lady. She was in a compromising position, and the images got around online, and she dropped out of school too. And she ended up unaliving herself. It was a good book, though. I'd recommend it because it had a whole bunch of plot twists, and at the end, someone got revenge on the guy, and you wouldn't believe who it was, and just interconnected webs. But yeah, I digress. Maybe that'd be a book for another book podcast. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, yeah, there was an incident, and then so they started making, eventually turned into a matchmaking operation where you can see people's faces and this and the other. And so, yeah, there's still a lawsuit or whatever pending, and they're trying to reach a deal on the funding. And he's going to end up funding the project. And Then we find out that Osakai may have been taken by the Johnny Hunter. So, will the boy make it out? Who knows?
I think it was just impressive. He was managing to post so many pictures and type perfectly perfect messages.
Well, that's that T9 phone.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's an older phone. The buttons and shit.
Yeah. So basically, we used to be able to text under the desk.
What's funny is I can do that with a swipe, using a swipe, but I have so many words in my dictionary now that I don't think I could do every word for word. Like, if you gave me a paragraph, I'd probably miss about 5 of those words.
Yeah, but why do you need to be swiping under your desk now?
I don't, but like, swipe was a thing when I was in high school.
Maybe. Definitely wasn't when I was. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited to see where this goes. Like, I'm like, oh man, I gotta know what happens next. I definitely would have binge watched this already. But, you know.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
I wonder if there's a manga for it, because it'd probably make for a good read, too.
It'd probably make for a better read.
Probably. Definitely be reading faster.
Yeah.
That's what I'll look up later.
Shall we move on to Jujutsu?
Yeah, let's do this little Jujutsu.
All right, so chapter
213,
214,
and 215.
Yes, sir, chapters. Yeah. So, Sukuna took over Fushiguro's body, and he bodied the fuck out of Yuji in chapter 213, which turned into a fight between him and Angel Girl, which the Angel Girl was actually, like, had the edge during the fight. But then Sukuna pulled a, oh, no, it's me, it's Fushiguro, like that thing most possessed people do when they're fighting someone important to the person they possess. They pretend they're that person. And she falls for a hook, line, sinker, and gets bitten in a chunk bitten out of her. She dies. She's dead. She fell for it. It was a deserved death.
She, well, I think worth noting here, too, is that Sukuna sensed that Megumi had her technique potential and could tolerate him inhabiting his body. So I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Megumi's body does something more interesting in the next couple chapters.
Yeah, I would say what I thought it also, initially, I thought he was going to bite off girl's neck, but we'll see what happened in the next chapter, though. But he did body Yuji pretty bad. I was like, ooh.
He did. It was fairly simple, too.
Yeah.
So
I don't...
Go ahead.
I don't know if that's like... Does Megumi might have stronger powers with when it comes to fighting like that? Or it could just be a boost. Or Yuji could just lost his power from Sukuna. Because I don't know. Is it like a transfer over to Megumi? Or it's just like, oh, he's a part of Megumi and Yuji still has the main body.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think what was confusing to me is a specific line in the next chapter, which we're about to get to. That, like, because I thought I knew. We're about to get into it. So,
yeah.
Sukuna bites, like, a chunk out of her shoulder?
Her arm off.
Yeah. And then, like, he just tosses her into the rail. She falls down the building. And Yuji watches this whole thing happen, right? So he gets, like, a look of kind of, like, disbelief and just, like, almost despair, and then he goes into full rage mode and he attacks, where Sukuna realizes, all right, this motherfucker, he's still strong as shit. Why is he still strong as shit? And I would have assumed it's because he ate 15 fucking fingers.
Was it 15?
Yeah, it was 15. I think there should only be 5 fingers left if Unless he ate some off screen. I have no idea, but.
I thought it was like 10. He had like 9 or 10 fingers or something. I have no idea.
It was either they crammed like 5 or they crammed 10 into his mouth during the incident before Nabarro dying.
Yeah. It might be at 15.
But in one of the panels in chapter 214, Sukuna goes, "I get it. The boy is from that time." And the fight continues, and I'm just like, whoa. Are we saying Yuji? Because Yuji didn't have parents. He had a grandfather.
He did have parents.
Did he have parents?
Yeah. How else would he get there?
I don't know. If he's from that time, maybe he just reincarnated.
No. He because remember, he had a mother that was part of, I think, Fushiguro's clan, and a father that was from some other clan. And Geto ended up taking over the body of Yuji's mother. So he was Yuji's mother and gave birth to Yuji. It was a whole crazy thing.
Yeah, I remember something about that. I was just like, but I'm trying to... I'm trying to make sense of he's from that time.
Yeah, it could be the time period where they didn't have, where everyone had simple domains and it wasn't complex. Mm. And it was just like brute strength. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So we continue to fight, and Sukuna is not really struggling with Yuji, but he's not pushing him off as easily as he thought he would. And then it turns out he realizes his output is just not what he thinks it is. But Yuji is pretty strong too. So like he's pushing forward and Yuji's face is getting messed up. But Sukuna can't bring out the cursed energy output to like get him to go away permanently. And then chapter 215, my girl.
I did like this line from Sukuna with Yuji after he gets his little power up. He's like, "Why must you spread misery?" And Sukuna's like, "Why are you so weak and yet you cling to life?" I was like, "Oh, okay." So I thought it was a little low blow right there. Mm. But yeah, just watching that in there. Go ahead, proceed.
No problem. So my girl Maki joins the battle. And they're actually doing pretty well holding them off, because Maki is just a badass. Right? But it also turns out, mid-fight, Sukuna is really struggling because Megumi is interfering with his output whenever he targets someone he cares about. Well, yeah. Once he put that together, he just directed his attention to the entire area. And that kind of just took care of them pretty quickly. Some lady shows up. I don't know if she's been introduced to before, but he summons a giant ass new with Megumi's body. Like, did you see the size of that thing?
Yeah.
And he flies away, pretty much laughing at Yuji's despair.
Oh, this is after his minion comes through,
mm-hmm.
and uses the calm frost. I was like, oh, okay.
Did the minion use the calm frost, or was it Sukuna?
The minion used it, because the minion had planned contingencies to get him out of there.
Gotcha. Yeah, so it obviously didn't kill Yuji, and like Sukuna didn't want to. It was like, should I kill him? He's like, no, wait. Look, it's hilarious. He's so pitiful, and they're just laughing at him as they fly away.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no one does that to Yuji and gets away with it. So, but yeah, I'm excited about the next chapter.
In a couple days, my friend, in a couple days.
Nah, in 2 weeks, they're taking a break.
Damn.
Nah, I'm kidding.
3 days, my friend, 3 days.
Yeah. 3 days. Okay. Hot ways.
What next, Captain?
Go ahead and do Boruto real quick.
Boruto Strike.
Yeah, so Boruto chapter 78. Pretty much everyone is notified about what Kawaki did and how Kawaki wants to kill Boruto again. And Kawaki just Daioken and he beats up Boruto. And yeah, so they meet up. They start throwing the hands. I'm like, oh, okay. And this is when Sarada shows up. He's like, if I'm going to be Hokage, I got to help. And she's trying to talk to him. He's like, Sarada, he ain't going to listen to you. And this is what Kawaki says. Hey, if you don't want to die, butt out. And so he goes to slash her. Boruto ends up saving her. I'm like, oh, man, Boruto. And this is when he gets his eye busted open.
Mm-hmm. Which like, I don't even think, if she was serious about it, I don't even think I saw her using Sharingan. I was like, it may be something you want to activate beforehand.
Yeah. I don't know. I just felt like it kind of seems to me like she wants to be the Hokage trope, but what is she really doing to be Hokage? It's kind of like how if you look at like Sakura, you substitute the fact that she's always chasing after Sasuke.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is just the same thing if you insert Hokage instead.
Yeah, so she's like, Sakura is a main character, but by like separating, if you got to the point, Naruto's the main character and everyone else is a side character. There might be a sub main character, but Naruto's the main character. In this, it's Boruto. Boruto's the main character. She might want to be Hokage, and she might be Hokage because even Sakura got what she wanted. But Boruto, Boruto doesn't want to be Hokage. Ugh,
yeah,
I'm dying.
Die a little quieter.
I'm trying, dog.
Yeah, so then the whole squad shows up. Sasuke shows up. I'm like, oh, okay. Shikamaru hits it with the shadow possession. And they all, even Misuke was there to stop him. And then my man Momoshiki ends up taking over Boruto for whatever reason. He probably expended too much energy.
It didn't even seem like he used that much.
Well, you got to think about it. They're fighting on like two completely different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Using their dojutsu with the eye and this, that, and the other. And so, probably spends a whole bunch. And then what the other part that kind of just made me mad, too, was like, Momoshiki end up freeing Kawaki so he can flee, and then Kawaki flees. And then Sarada says to Boruto, I'm sorry you lost your eye. And Boruto's like, oh, it's not her fault. I'm like, whose fault was it? She had no business being there.
He even told her to go before she jumped in. He was like, no, I'm going to be Hokage. So, okay.
Yeah, like, it's like when Naruto fought.
Can't save a hoe.
Yeah, it's like when Naruto fought Pain. Like, they was like, oh, Shikamaru can help. And Shikaki's like, oh, we won't be doing nothing but getting away at that type of level of fighting, which should have been evident here because they were some whole new level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then so, they're trying to make it out like it's Kawaki's fault. I'm like, no.
She pulled. It was her fault. She pulled a Sakura. She let her inner Sakura come out. She showed signs of her mom. Like that one time that Sakura half-heartedly tried to kill Sasuke, but stopped right before and almost got her ass got.
Yeah.
Naruto had to come save a hoe.
Pretty much. But yeah, so that concludes it. Ready to see where it goes from there.
Yeah. All right.
Beating up, baby.
So, Dragon Ball wasn't that crazy.
I love Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
No.
there was a dance coming up, and Goten was getting pressed by one of his classmates to get Trunks to go with them to dance, but Goten knew that Trunks had Mai in mind. And here's where, I guess, they're going to slip eventually, because they put two and two together. A zombie android came to attack Goten. It was like, I know you're Sandman X or blah, blah, blah. And they're like, Goten, what is with that happening? I don't know, but go ahead and sneak out. And as soon as he sneaks out, Sandman 2 shows up. And they're like, God, every time Goten just happens to leave, Sandman shows up. I'm like, well, if that ain't a recipe for finding out.
Yeah, I had that marked down because I was like, that's pretty funny. And I also want to ask, why does Krillin need a gun on the police force?
His abilities, he should be more makes dangerous no sense. Than a gun.
Makes no sense.
And maybe he feels like a gun is less lethal than himself?
It could be.
I don't know.
I don't know. But I'm like, really?
I think it's interesting that Goten rides Nimbus to the nearest bus stop. Or not the nearest bus stop, but like, he rides it all the way and then gets on the bus.
Yeah, the second to last stop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my man could just go fly to school and call it a day.
Yep. So, Mai ends up asking Truck out to the dance, and he's belated. He says yes. Mai sees Goten, pulls him aside, like, yo, that bug. It's a spy. I'm trying to track it down. Dr. Harrow and yada, yada, yada makes the androids. It's not going to stop, so we got to stop him. So how are you going to get over him? Well, only time he's made a public appearance was to get an autograph from Mr. Cleanaho. I actually see the name right here. No, that's not the name. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, is that the reason you're going to dance with Trunks? She was like, yes. So I'm like, damn. My boy's excited. And yeah. You just using him. Oh, well. So they go to the dance. And Goten ends up going with the girl who wanted to go with Trunks. And she was like, why am I here with you? And well, that's because you wanted to spy on Mai. So take it or leave it. And what's wrong with Goten? Goten cute?
He might be cute.
He's like a little Goku.
That would assume Goku's cute.
Yeah. Chi-Chi liked him. Chi-Chi crazy.
She is crazy.
Yep, and crazy girls are cute, so they gotta like cute guys.
I don't know about that one.
I don't know, man. But at this party, Trunks and Dr. Harrow are actually bonding over their love for Clean God. And Mai catches Harrow, and it's like, Trunks, stand aside, pulls out a gun. And then that teenage android boy stops Mai. Krillin shows up with his gun. Why he has a gun, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I'll say the first part, he busted into their little hideout at first with the gun. That's why I said that one first.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Dr. Harrow, like, unleashes a smokescreen and escapes. Krillin starts chasing them. Mai tells him, go after him. Aren't you Sandman 1? It's like, what? You know? Well, duh. Dumbass.
Yeah.
It's not really a brilliant disguise. Honestly, Gohan's wasn't that brilliant either.
No, they was not brilliant.
So Krillin, Goten, and Trunks are chasing Dr. Harrow. They have mid-conversation. Krillin's debriefing them on the situation and how the Red Ribbon Army might be into play with working with Dr. Harrow, and they might be making a comeback. I don't know why they didn't just include a little side note here. I don't know why we're pretending like the movie Superhero didn't happen when we're using the same characters and it's the same time period. We made all the Dragon Ball Super, the previous Super movies that focused on Goku and Vegeta canon. I don't know why this can't be canon. But
I don't know.
Regardless, they catch up to Dr. Hero, and it turns into a fight. Dr. Hero realizes that none of his androids are going to be matched, so he unleashes the Dino Droid.
Android.
Yeah. And it really, it was actually holding its own against them fairly well. I actually had them pinned down until Krillin hit him with a Destructo Disc on the back of his neck, which seemed to be a weak point. Poor design on Hero's part. And then the boys go Super Saiyan and quite literally punch a hole through the big android's gut. Therefore, yeah, saving the day. And might I add, earlier in this chapter, Mai did tell Trunks, if you arrest Dr. Hero, I'll go out with you as many times as you want.
He did.
So yeah, that was Dragon Ball Super.
He didn't arrest him though. So
true.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're getting to Chojin. You ever finish that one up?
No, go ahead and fill me in.
Nah, dog, you can go ahead and read it.
I'll skim through it as you talk about it.
Nah, dog. I'll just go ahead and redo that next time. And going to end the show on Magical Revolution of the Reincarnated Princess and the Genius Young Lady. Oh, get into the truth, the annulment, and the fascination. So they're on the way to see Tilty. Yuffie is, she's kind of scared to meet her. And to find out the purpose of seeing Tilty is to let her know that she's been cursed. And also that she's been trusted with the dragon's knowledge. Tilty's jumping at the opportunity to study Anyo's curse. So that's going to be interesting to see what they find out. And then we also find out that Tilty gets afflicted with some issues when she uses magic. So essentially, magic short circuits her. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Puts her in an altered mental state. And that's where she's like, oh, I decided to pursue medicine. And that's how, that's kind of like the two peas in pod, because Miss Anos, Honest can't use magic in general, and she can't use magic because it makes her sicker.
About to say, Anos can use magic just fine, I assure you.
Yeah. So, that happens, and so the main goal she has is to absorb the magic type into herself. So, and they're trying to come up with a way to do it safely. And Honest, she's summoned to the castle. And then this is when we see her mother for a change.
Yeah, who I get mixed vibes from. Like, I was like, she came in here like she was going to be the shit. And she was like, kind of just very like, yeah, she's chill. We trust her.
Yeah, deferring. So I think that's, I was kind of weird that she thought that she was dead. I was like, oh, why did she think she was dead? So,
I don't know. Maybe she was hoping.
I'm not too sure about that. But she thought she was dead from her missions and volunteer stuff overseas. And so then we're talking about, they're like doing a tribunal about the information collected regarding Algard, and they're going to question the Saiyan princess, and they want Anis in on it. And apparently Anis is getting a tattoo.
Yes, she is.
I'm like, huh, that's interesting. And Tilty, I guess she's like, she has some sort of pen mark or something doing to her. Yeah, so then they're talking about the interaction of how everyone interacts with Cyan, the girl, Lenny, And they end up sympathizing with her. She thinks it's kind of weird. And she has this thought, and then that leaves us like on a cliffhanger. I'm like, oh, so you're just not gonna finish the thought?
Yeah.
And at this point, I looked at the thing. It's like, oh, we got time, so it might still come out. So.
I think I thought the episode ended early, too. I was just like, wait. There's plenty of time left.
Yeah, I was like, wait. So then when, so the people that she's come in contact with end up talking bad on Yuffie, and they have no recollection that they actually did it. And they did it like King Algar's suggestion. I'm like, huh. What is his goal? Like, what is he doing? Because the man's shady.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. And then so it convenes, and the king asks Lani if she has any deep feelings for the Algar. And she's like, no, I don't. It's like, it appears to be a misunderstanding. And then my girl, Honest, sneezes. And she's like, oh, hey. I want to ask Lani something in private with very few people around. And Lord Chateris is objecting, which I wonder why. Because they're trying to pull a sneaky fast one over on the folks. Mm-hmm. And so, which he was evil and plotting with Algard anyway. And so she gives her an examination in private, and she concludes that Lani is using magic without even realizing it. And she's no ordinary human. And then, and this is where she gets upset. She's like, I'm not a human, this, that, and the other. And she's like, no, I said, you're not an ordinary human.
Chill, she fondled her tits.
Yeah, well, that's a part of examination, my guy.
Oh, I don't know. I think she could have came with that conclusion without touching the tits.
Well, that's where the magic site resides, doesn't it? In the heart, in the chest.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even listen to myself. You thought I lost some explanation.
Yeah, because the magic site's in the chest. It's in the heart. And then she concludes that she has the power of fascination, which kind of endears herself to people, lets them do what they want, or see her favorably, which, in a way.
It makes sense, because like you never got a bad vibe from her. Yeah. I thought she was acting at some point. I was just like, I don't know. I felt like this seems a bit rehearsed.
Yeah. Like, if thinking about it, like she looked like she didn't want to be making a scene with Algard. Mm-hmm. But Algard was like, oh, you got to do this, that, and these people. And I'm like, huh. And I didn't get that vibe from Yuffie that she was that kind of woman. So.
But you know, you'll probably mention it later. I'll wait.
Yeah. So then, Honest is going to come up with countermeasures. And she's like, I'm going to keep Lani. And then her mother's like, well, don't you see a problem with that? Keeping Lani. And she's like, oh, I got the disgraced princess and the other woman in here. So it's like, roll. So, then...
Little love triangle?
Yeah. A reverse harem. But yeah, so then we go flashback to Algard and Chateris talking. And they're being devious. I'm like, what are they planning?
Which makes you... It almost put into, like, thought that, like, oh, she charmed the prince. And was like, ah, no, I think he knows about it.
I think the prince, yeah, I think he did know about it. I think he's using her charm to
sway other people.
Plot. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't feel this way about Eden, but I do find myself wanting to watch more episodes of this one.
Yeah. Cause I just want to know what Algard's planning. Like, bro, why you pulling a sneaky one?
Yeah, they always leave you on a good cliffhanger.
Yeah, so I'm like, huh, he's being sneaky. I don't like the sneaky. A little sneaky, a little slittery snake, sneaky.
All right, well, Irby, do you have anything you want to discuss?
Nope. Got nothing, Hajime.
Okay. I just want to note real quick, guys, that it is speculated that Solo will be dropping this week. There's still a couple days left. I don't know. It seems a little far-fetched to me, but when you look up Solo Leveling air date, the first article that comes up that came out in January this year says Country Roads expected to release the second week of March. Well, we're in the second fucking week of March. Where is my episode? There's still time. I don't know if I'm going to make it because I'm dying, but there's still time.
Might not.
But other than that, I got nothing. So yeah, Herbie, by all means.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for this week's installment of Herbal Synergy. Like, rate us, review us, share us with your friend, and give us 5 stars. And we'll catch you next week.
Peace.